Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael. Today, I'm really excited to have Shelby Mitchell and Madeline Lambert with us. And they are representing New Life for Adults and Youth, which is a rehab program. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
This is located in Richmond. I believe you are in Chesterfield. Is that right?
Yes, Chesterfield, correct.
Okay. So we want to talk to Madeline, and we want to hear about the ministry. But today, Shelby, I thought maybe we would just start out with you, and you can share with us a little bit about your background, like how you grew up and how you ended up working at New Life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So my name is Shelby, and I grew up in a great family. We went to church, and later I would come to, you know, realize that it was just kind of one of those boxes we checked. It wasn't so much a relationship that I have, you know, grown into now. Growing up, like I said, you know, we would go to church. I played sports. I was very active in sports, you know, homecoming queen. Everything looked good on the outside. I got my real estate license early on when I was 20, and I met who I thought would be the man that I would marry. Him and I had a little girl when our daughter Cameron was 3 months old. We had been, you know, partying recreationally, just going out to the bars, drinking. We would do cocaine, marijuana. Everything was pretty regular, you know, just kind of fit into like our way of life, like a fast lifestyle. Yeah. Money wasn't an issue. And unfortunately, heart disease ran in his side of the family, and because of our drug use and years of steroid abuse on his end, he had a massive heart attack and took his last breaths in my arms. And that is what kind of sent me into a downward spiral. It was a slow spiral, and, you know, I had a newborn. Our daughter, like I said, was 3 months old, and my parents didn't know how to help me except to help me with her. And I just started, you know, I wanted to be numb to everything that I was feeling. I didn't want to have to deal with, you know, that loss and the hurt. And so I just tried to mask it as best as I knew how. And that was through drinking until I would black out, and then doing an 8-ball of cocaine to sober up, until when my daughter was probably a toddler, I got introduced and addicted to pain pills fairly quickly. And then eventually, years later, that turned to heroin abuse. And then, you know, just from hanging out with certain crowds, I started shooting up. So with the IV drug use comes worse crowds. And this was over the course of, I would say, 10 to 12 years, you know, just this looking on the outside. I had a very nice home, cars, you know, a career, but on the inside, I was hurting. I was empty. I didn't know what I was lacking other than just this fullness that I felt like I would never be able to complete by just, like I said, the emptiness and the brokenness that I felt on a daily basis, where I only wanted to function by being numb and not having to, you know, deal with my feelings. Yeah. And so the crazy part is, I had somebody that was like a brother to me. Him and I were actually roommates, and we kind of got into our addiction at the same time. And he got worse off than I did, and he actually got court ordered to New Life for Adults and Youth in 2015. And he graduated from the program. His charges ended up getting dropped. And ever since then, God has restored everything tenfold to him. He got his appraisal business back. You know, I really saw God start to move in his life. And so he had been out of the program for almost 2 years, and he came to see me. I had almost lost my life. I mean, it was from IV drug use. I had an abscess and a blood clot. My body started shutting down. I was going into sepsis and got rushed to the hospital. And they told me had I not come sooner, I would not even be alive. I had one really bad overdose where I lost majority of my hearing. I was carried out in a body bag, Narcan several times. And at that point, I didn't even know if I wanted to be alive or if it was worth it to be alive, or would my daughter be better off without either of her parents, you know? And that's when I really started like thinking, gosh, there has to be more, you know? And I remember crying out to God and just, you know, feeling like, man, I've seen you heal other people. I've seen you do it for them. You know, why can't you do it for me? You know? So it's like just thinking back on that, it's, you know, it just took me to such a place of, you know, you like how you hear people say you have to get to that rock bottom, you know? And so I remember my, like I said, he was like a brother to me, Kevin, coming to my bedside in the hospital, and he filled out the application for this program for me. I remember him praying for me. And I just thought, like I said, gosh, if I could just commit, if I could just do it. And I ended up getting locked back up for a probation violation. So I was incarcerated for about another 6 months. And when I got out, you know, I ended up connecting with some of the same people. But the judge had told me, like, if I see you again, you know, I'm going to give you all your backup time. So I actually went to my probation officer and I said, you know, I want to try this program I heard of, you know, New Life for Adults and Youth in Richmond, Virginia. And I remember my PO even encouraging me, like, oh, are you sure you want to do a long-term program? You know, you could do outpatient. And I was like, no, I really want to do this. I've tried outpatient before. I've tried it several times. You know, it just doesn't work for me. I want to try this. And so that was, I had gotten out of jail in July 2017. And I came here August 23rd, 2017 to New Life for Adults and Youth. Kevin's actually the one who drove me. My family just set a laundry basket of clothes outside. Like they didn't even, you know, you hear about us exhausting all of our resources, or, you know, our families are done. They're not even willing to help at that point because they're just tired, you know, of the same excuses, the same roundabout things that happen just being an active addiction. And so Kevin drove me down here to Richmond, Virginia. I entered the program and it took me probably a few weeks, but then I was like, you know what? I'm going to complete this. If not for anybody else, I'm going to complete it for myself. I knew that I wanted change in my life. And I had seen within the first week or two, I really saw God moving in the ladies around me. And I saw like all of our staff members here were in recovery or had been through the program. And that spoke volumes to me because it was like people came from all different walks of life, but like addiction does not discriminate. That's and right. seeing these ladies, you know, as staff members was very encouraging to me. So I graduated, you know, a year later, August 2018, and I've served in different capacities in the ministry. I now do administration over the entire program, over the men's and women's program. We now have a clinic that's incorporated into like their daily schedule. So we offer like IOP classes such as relapse prevention, anger management, 12 steps, trauma, life skills. They do community service while they're here. And now I'm actually the director. I've been the director of the women's home for the last 2 years now. Man, so now I get the privilege too of seeing the Maddies come in, you know.
That is so powerful. And you know, it is amazing when we see other people doing the hard work and seeing them have that recovery and being able to be successful in that. That story, that testimony of what that's done for them, it does give us hope that we can do it too.
Absolutely. Because that's the thing when, you know, we just had a new girl come in yesterday and I was talking with her earlier and she was just breaking down. And I was like, look, I've been in your shoes, you know, and that's the best part about what we can do is I can speak to them. right where they are and let them know, you know, God is still a miracle worker. He's still on the throne. He can still, you know, heal them and meet them right where they are. And that's such a big, big testament to what we do here. And like I said, is I can say that I've been in their shoes, and it really gives them hope to see, because so many of the women that I've seen come in over the years, a lot of them don't even think that I've been through the program, you know, or mm-hmm. can't, or don't think that I've come from that lifestyle.
Yeah.
So yeah. That's just a testimony, you know, to God's grace right there.
That's yeah. right. That's right. He is so faithful when we'll trust him and take the next right step, right?
And that's a great testimony about how you came through the program. Now you're giving back by serving and working there and helping other people that come into the recovery program and letting them know that you've been where they've been and that you, I would think that would give them hope that they can yes. they can get where you're at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before we hear from Maddie, I just want to make sure, like, so it's for men and women and moms with children. Is that correct? And youth?
Yeah. So our moms with children is more so like having the capability to stay on and do an internship after they graduate. And at that time, then, you know, we usually know several of the ladies in our program have kids. So if they're looking to kind of stay on for an internship, we see what would that look like as far as them getting their kids back. We used to have a home for women and kids, but again, that was after they graduated. But now that we kind of are opening up space to have that capability again, you know, that's always been our heartbeat. Obviously, you know, we restore moms back to their kids, we restore dads back to their kids, we restore kids back to their parents, you know, so it's like it's a full circle really ministry, and we offer wraparound services. But yeah, so we do try to bridge that gap as well, and especially, you know, when custody's involved, that sort of thing. But yeah, men and women and women with kids. Yeah,
that's great. That is wonderful. So in the program is year long, the first it's a year, and then they can do the internship, correct?
Exactly. Yeah, we've started to advertise 9 to 12 months, and it's kind of case by case based on, like, their progress or if the court has ordered them to do a specific amount of time. Is, yeah, it could be 9, 12, or 18 months, really. Yeah. And then, like I said, we have that capability to offer them an internship to stay on. And, you know, hopefully, too, then they can see, you know, just that fulfilling desire to help others as well. And that's why, like I said, you know, a majority of our staff have all been through the program as well. And then they just want to give back and serve as well in the ministry that restored their life back.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that's really good. Well, I know Maddie's sitting there with you, and I would love for Maddie to share some of her story and how she ended up at New Life and what that's meant for her. So Maddie, if you want to start out and just kind of share about your life and, you know, where you grew up, that type of thing, and just kind of up through the point that you were ready to go to recovery. So Madeline, I know that you are there at the home, and could you just like tell me like where you grew up and just a little bit about your childhood?
All right. Well, I'm from Harrisonburg, Virginia, but really I'm from a little bit of everywhere. My granddad was a truck driver and worked with a carnival, so we were moving around a lot. And we not only moved just because of the work, but I had lost my parents when I was really young, and then turned around and lost my grandma 18 months later before the age of 5. So it's just been me and my, like, trying to think of how many years we have between us. Like 40? Yeah.
Wow.
40-year age gap between me and my granddad, and he never was raised. So he's been in survival mode his whole life. So how do you raise somebody that you weren't raised? So I've been in survival mode my whole life, and he did the absolute best he could, and he's a wonderful man. But there was some side effects to not teaching me certain things, and I, like, was exposed to a lot of things that children should be shielded from. Just due to the environment that I was raised in. So before, like at 12 years old, I had been exposed to meth and was openly smoking it. here and there, just like socially. And it went from that to drinking to pills. Like, there was nothing off limits. Because, like, honestly, I didn't know it was bad.
Yeah.
It was handed to me before a hug was, and that's half of the problem. Mm. Instead of asking, like, are you okay? It's like, here's this piece of foil. This will make you okay.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the deep-seated, I can find another, that's just the solution to my problem started. And unfortunately, also due to the circumstances which I was raised in, I fell victim to a lot of sexual trauma. And that also, you know, just made me keep crawling back to the thing that kept my brain at bay. Instead of having to accept, like, when you don't understand the weight of the things that are happening to you, your subconscious tends to go crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of how I weighted things. Like, if I didn't have something in my system to make it stop, my brain just felt like it was going to go into pieces. Yeah. So I, like, socially used here and there, at least it felt social, but I only hung out with people who were always messed up. Like, my academic life and my outside life had, they did not match up at all. Mm. Like, I had periods where I did beauty pageants, I had periods where I did sports, I had periods, anytime I could get my hands on any kind of substance or alcohol, I was doing it.
Yeah.
And it was a never-ceasing thing, but in 2018, I finally hit my limit. I started surpass social usage, finally fell in with what the people call the quotation mark tweakers, mm-hmm. and, like, really fell into addiction. Like, I just couldn't stop, which unfortunately due to that world was an excruciating circumstance, but it humbled me in ways that I wouldn't have never been able to be humbled if I wouldn't have been exposed. So unfortunately, even though it hurt, I'm also thankful. But I just kept on using. I actually allowed myself to, I lost my mind entirely due to the drugs. Trying to escape my own mind, putting myself in a position to be around other people who had no regard for me and looked at me like with an appetite. Mm. And I didn't realize that because I was, you know, using what I was given in the situation and didn't know. So, and the things that were pushed through my system, like, I just lost my mind and didn't even realize it. Ended up doing almost 2 years, and God restored my brain, actually, in a segregation cell at Middle River. I never thought I was going to be right again, but never was supposed to be right again. But I am, to an extent, anyways, not all the way right, but that's fine.
I don't think any of us are all the way right. So.
No, I prefer it this way, actually. I reach more people. God, I laugh so much because I'm traumatized. If you can laugh at it, it's okay. But I didn't fully accept God then either, because it had been like, I've been forced to go to church, I've been taken to church, nothing really mattered to me, because I viewed it as how many things can happen to a little kid that doesn't understand the world, and they're expected to believe in something they can't see. Like, I've seen the sexual trauma, I've seen the physical trauma, I felt the world before I could ever feel God's presence. And that was half of my problem. So to lean on something like that, but I was like, listen, I've lost my mind. I can't even talk. Like, I'm going to try this and see how it works. And it's like, over that 2 years, I changed. Not completely for the better, because I did go back to my addiction as soon as I got out, but something inside of me clicked. And from I got out in 2020 until 23, May of 23, I have been in and out of jail, prison, and I got really, not to say I'm good, was good, I masked my usage. Like, I had met people that I love in the recovery option I just had before this one grew my heart. I got a sponsor who would never give up on me, and a mentor that would never give up on me, and they just kept planting seeds of faith and then taking me places where I could be poured into, and I would still plant seeds of faith. And I was still in my usage, but everybody just kept meeting me where I was at. So finally, this last bout of being incarcerated, after pretending to be sober, walking a straight line, and then slowly letting people watch me die, I was locked up, and I was like, you know what, I don't want this anymore. Like, I told my sponsor, Leah, I was like, you've helped me find the place, because I trust you, because you've never left me, and if that's what God's doing for you, it made you not leave me when I've pushed you so far away that you shouldn't shouldn't have anything to do with me, then I'm going to do whatever you say is, would be best for me to be able to get closer to him as well. Yeah. After it took her a little bit because I needed a place that would accept violent offenders, which, you know, is really hard. But at the end of the day, I wouldn't be able to reach people. So I'm going to use my wrong for good, because there are other violent offenders who want more for their life than what they used to be and have done. But anyways, Leah found new life for adults and youth. And I was open for it. She's like, you're going somewhere longer than 30 days. You're going somewhere longer than 6 months. And I was like, that's okay. Like, I'm willing to do this. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do. If I don't get away from being here, like, I couldn't go anywhere where I hadn't been A, traumatized, or B, see somebody who either A, traumatized, or B, traumatized me, or, you know, I've done drugs with. Like, unfortunately, I wasn't, like, a social butterfly in the drug world. Like, it was dangerous. So, like, I just needed a separation. Like, I just, all of the things, there were more bad memories than good, and it was just, I found that escape. So when I got out 3 days later, Leah had brought me straight here, and this program has completely changed my life. Honestly, the love of God from people that led me to this program planted those seeds, and then being here, this place has watered me. I have been surrounded by people who have walked this walk, and, like, I'm a feeler. Because I was so traumatized so young, I've learned to feel people out before they even speak to me. It's a safety mechanism. And as an addict, I hate to admit it, because I love people who love me and want me to do better that haven't been in addiction. And I love that. But when I was really broken, it was hard for me to respond to them. Because I feel like they couldn't reach me all the way versus someone who could reach me at that point where I was at.
Yeah.
And all of the women down here, like, you could feel that they have already been through, like, they could not just match my pain, but, like, the way they were able to respond to me, that was words of people who've been exactly where I was, which has now opened me up to receive the wisdom from people who may not have been where I was, but know the word of God better than I do, and want to lead me and my walk farther and closer to him. But it's just been a huge blessing. Like, I have actually get to talk to, I see my son frequently. Whenever we can, we get him. He loves being up here. He loves Shelby's daughter. They became little friends. She's a cute little baby. And then I actually talked to my youngest child's guardian, and I never thought that would be possible. Like, that's just a gift from God, because I have estranged myself from my younger two children due to my choices, and now I'm reaping the repercussions. But being here, they've allowed me to get I've been through parenting, anger management, trauma. I'm a PRS now.
Oh, nice.
But everything that you can get your kids back, I've, like, checked all the boxes.
Yeah.
And so I'm just praying for it, that way I don't, you know, hearts can be changed, so that can be a loving environment all the way around. And, yeah, that's another thing. I've gotten my PRS while I was down here, and, like, that's crazy, because 2 years ago, I would have never even thought about it.
Yeah. Well, I've been sitting here thinking about, in 2020, I met you. I think we played a game, Cornhole. You remember that?
Yes. I was in the mine shaft for the first time. Oh.
And literally the other night, Saturday night, me and Maddie played cornhole together for the first time. That's so funny.
Yeah, it was. We connected that day. And then before you was incarcerated the last time. And, you know, I know that there are people listening that have family that is struggling with addiction. And it is a hopeless, helpless thing when we see people in their addiction and they have to want to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's painful. I mean, I'm 23 years clean, so I'm with you. The Lord, it's by the grace of God that I have that sobriety. And I know that sometimes family just has to put up some really hard boundaries, and the fact that there are people that have gone before us and found healing and hope and are standing in the gap for our families to actually walk like Shelby and the team there has walked with you, to be able to come into that place and feel safe and understand that people there understand addiction is just so powerful. But we have to be ready for it, right? That rock bottom, we have to be there. And people can want it for us all day long, but we have to get to that point. And I remember there's a guy that shared his testimony at Celebrate Recovery, and he said, you know, my parents enabled me to the point it almost killed me. And sometimes, you know, there are people around us that keep us in that addiction. Just enough money, just enough, because they don't want to see us fall off of the edge, you know, fall off that cliff. And sometimes maybe one of the most loving things is for people to provide boundaries and allow us to get to that place where we know that we can't do this without help.
Rock bottom.
Yeah. So, Shelby, I'm just so grateful. I feel like there may have been a time that I called there actually and talked to you a couple years back, but I am so grateful that you are there and this team. And my hope is today that as people listen to this, that they'll know, hey, there is a Christ-centered recovery program in Chesterfield.
Yes.
In Richmond, Virginia.
Completely free of charge. And let me add that in there because, you know, we used to try to get, you know, people scholarshiped in, but we've just kind of, we've never turned anyone away based on their financial capability. We also understand a lot of people in active addiction, they've exhausted all their resources. They don't have any money. They may or may not have insurance, but that's one of the things that, you know, we try to help them with once they come into the program is getting them signed up for insurance and, you know, go ahead and doing assessments and making a plan on what, you know, what are their goals? What are they hoping to get out of, you know, the time that they're in the program? But we do have beds available for men and women free of cost. You can always call our main number, which is 844-231-HOPE, H-O-P-E. So that's 844-231-HOPE. And our website is www.newlife.center.
Okay, that's good. Because I know that there are people listening that have those family members. And today I pray that this has, like Grayson always says at the end of our podcast, and I'm just going to say that this has been a half hour of hope. It's been a half hour of hope for me.
For me too.
Maddie, I've just believed in you from the beginning, and I was able to see you a few weeks ago, and just to see your face and see the joy that you have, and you are a bright light that God has a great plan for. And so thank you for sharing today and being willing to put your story out there and provide that hope for those that are listening.
Shelby and Madeline, thank you for joining us today. It's been great to have you. Anything else in closing that either one of you would want to share that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already?
I would just say, you know, if you or anybody you know is struggling with addiction, to not give up hope, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the thing is, you mentioned it earlier, Pastor Margaret, is they have to be at that point where they're ready to accept help. You know, we can want it for somebody else all day long, but until they're ready and at that point. But that's where I would say, you know, don't give up hope. Still be that encouragement to somebody, or still be that light, or just that hand that reaches out, you know, and to give a helping hand. Sometimes it might just be a hot meal, you know, until they're ready to commit. But I would say that is to, you know, just continue to be the light that God has called us to be and to not give up hope.
That's right. That's a good word.
Good word.
Thank you.
Thank you both for joining us today. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as we've talked with Shelby Mitchell and Madeline Lambert today about the New Life Recovery Program, there in Chesterfield County, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.